I haven't even been, oh boy, this might matter. I haven't even been to church in 2.5 years. One day the police came in and asked the head elder in the church in China. I says, where's that foreigner that comes to church here? And she says, well, he's gone. And I was out of town at that time. But I never went back after that. Couldn't have the police. And I'm still, oh, I am. Okay. I appreciate the children's story, and I appreciate the prayer. Thank you very much for praying for me. I need it. I tell you, I haven't preached in 2.5 years, so I'm about as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And I tell you what, Clyde, would you come up, please? I just met this man yesterday, but you got to hear his little story. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hello. Why don't you stand right there, and they can hear you.
Well, I'm born and raised in this town. My last name is Mumma.
I come from the Mumma Trucking Company. I want to tell you about the power of prayer. Because, you know, there's nothing more than what God can do for you. I mean, if you pray about it. I used to ride the freight trains. I was coming out of Roseville, California, going to Bakersfield, and I was going to go up over into San Bernardino. And I woke up, I looked at my Indiglo watch, and I couldn't see nothing out of the boxcar because the door had shut on me. And you know what? That's one of the worst nightmares that any freight train rider would ever have in his life, is being locked in there, not having food, not having water, and dying. I went back. I tried to pry the door open. I couldn't do it. I went back and I sat down on my backpack and I prayed to God. I says, don't let me die this way. You know, I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have done wrong in my past, in my life. And I just don't want to go this way. About an hour later, this train hit his brakes so hard. He forced me back against the wall like that. And the box door slid open. And I went over there with my gear and I set it right there. When we come to a stop in Bakersfield, I threw my gear off. I got down on my hands and knees. I kissed the ground. I looked up in the sky and I said, you know what? Thank you. I said, you saved me one more time. And you know what? That belief and that power right there of God. I mean, I'm not a religious person. I don't go to churches. This is the first time, like you said, I've been to church and I don't know how long.
We're starting a trend.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how long, but I've got my son with me right now. My son back there, 35 years old. Okay. Now I got a grandson from him too that's 12. I haven't seen these guys in probably 8 years. Right now, I've got emphysema so bad from smoking for 45 years. I'm dying, and I know when the good Lord wants to take me, he's going to take me. You know,
like our storyteller, Joel, he has an allergy, you can tell. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? When he takes me, he takes me. But I know this much. When I go in front of him, I'm going to be accepted in. Because of my faith and my belief.
Amen. Thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate you talking to us.
Bet.
Pray for him and his whole family. This is their first time coming to church for, I don't know, but first time here anyway. Maybe they'll be, with your love and your care, maybe they'll be encouraged to come back. I left out one appreciation. I appreciate your music, but a whole lot of the music, the songs, I didn't know they were new to me. In fact, all of them were new to me. I have a question for you. Who was the smartest businesswoman in the Bible? You have an idea? Who was the smartest businesswoman in the Bible? Anybody? You have a guess? Huh? Yes. Say again. Oh my. Ruth? Good guess. A very good idea. Yes, that's a good one. Do you have one? Okay, that's a good one too. But how would you think it was Pharaoh's daughter? She went down to the bank of Nile and drew out the prophet. You know, Adam and Eve had a love affair going on. They had it made. They were perfect. Everything was wonderful with them. They just had one limitation: to keep some distance. It's not moving. Maybe that. No. Oh, come on. Well, we might have to just do without this. I don't know. If I hit that again, maybe. No, that turned it off. Yes, Lord, please help me. I said, the mechanics. Maybe. It always is worth to have a really technical person in here. Anyway, they were to stay away from a certain tree, keep a certain distance, but it was right near another tree. Well, I tell you what, we're going to forget it. It was right near the tree of life, where every month a new fruit came on that sustained eternal youth. Adam and Eve, we don't know how long they'd been in the garden, but it wasn't too long because no children had come along, and they usually do pretty quickly after marriage. They were in the garden long enough, though, to get some instructions from their Creator, and angels were always their companions. You know, Adam became an expert in biology, chemistry, and physics all in one afternoon. And he shared that with his wife. He shared all that he had learned. The only begotten Son of God came and instructed them. He told them all about his father. He told them about how the Father instructed him, and he created all the heavens and the stars and all the planets in the millions, and gave life to the angels. And his last, most recent creation was the earth, and giving life to Adam and Eve. And they were informed about the history in heaven and the entire universe. So they learned about the rebellion and about the war in heaven and Lucifer, and that there was a band of fallen angels with a leader that is very, very clever, and they were looking for people to join in their rebellion. Maya sure would help. And they were advised to stay together. I can either see you or see my words, so I have to have these things. And the counsel was for them to stay together. And you know, staying together is a very important thing, because there's the saying, "Divided we fall, and united we stand." And this church, every church, has that same thing. We've got to hold together. We've got to stay together. A baptismal candidate in the church that I was pastor made a suggestion to an elder, and the elder dismissed that as absolute foolishness. Well, you know, that affected the candidate, and he took it to heart, and he left in a huff. And the elder says, "Good, we don't need a hothead like that around here." You know, who should the pastor pray for, the man or the or the elder. We need to have communication that always brings unity. Everything we say ought to make us closer together instead of never further apart. You know, Satan removed himself from being under the authority of God. But they very shortly, he and all of his followers, shortly found that what they did was not very good. It didn't lead where they wanted. And Lucifer came back to heaven and asked the Son of God, could we be readmitted? And the Son of God, speaking on behalf of his Father, said, it's impossible. You have damaged yourself. You have adopted the spirit of rebellion. You could never be happy in a society of love and righteousness. You can't be here. The only way you could be here is for God to change your minds, to go in and wash your minds out, which is something he could do, but he will not do that because of all the care he took to create intelligent, free-thinking beings, free to think and do. See, he would never do that. He says, I command the angels to do this and that, and they do it of their own free will, knowing that what I ask them to do leads to righteousness. They can refuse me any time they so choose. They are free, and we are free. Satan immediately threw a conniption fit. He went mad. He said, I will destroy everything you have created. I will burn, bury, and butcher everything that you can make. Everything that I can get my hands on, he will do. And then he went and stayed in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lingered there, hoping someday he would be able to carry out his threat against God. You know, Adam, being a male, one day he was 200 feet up in a tree, and Eve was on the ground. She was studying the birds and the beasts, and a butterfly with a wingspan of 30 inches. Would you like to find one like that, 30 inches? Yes, with color on the wings and design, incredible, you wouldn't believe it. So she followed that butterfly from flower to flower, and she heard a sound which she thought was coming from the butterfly's wings. But then the butterfly landed on a plant, on a flower, and was still. But she still heard that sound. And then she heard, Eve, darling, and she jumped back in fear. What is that? And she says, oh, don't be afraid. I'm just a harmless serpent. Has God not said you can eat of all the trees in the garden? And she answered and said, we can eat of all the trees in the garden, but not this tree in the midst of the garden. God said that if we eat of it, we will die. And he says, you won't die. Besides, you will gain fantastic knowledge that your creator and the angels haven't told you about yet. And he grabbed one, the serpent grabbed one and tossed it, and she had very quick reflexes, so she caught it, but she dropped it right away. She says, no, God has said that we should not eat it or touch it or we will die. And the serpent said, you didn't die and you touched it and you won't die if you eat it either. And you know what happened. She grabbed one or two of them and ran to her husband. And he asked, where have you been? And what is this new and different fruit that you have? And Eve, where did it come from? Point out the tree. And so she told him everything that happened. And he says, oh no, Eve, do you realize what you have done? And she says, oh yes, I realize. And I never felt so good in all my life. It's wonderful. And you'll never know until you try it. What should Adam do? What can Adam do? He can trust God, or he can trust his own judgment. And this is the same dilemma that you are always in every day. You have a choice to just trust your judgment or God's. Let us trust God's judgment. He can take his failure, because he didn't stay with his wife like he should have, and his wife's, and go to God expecting just, fair, merciful treatment from a loving God. And we must learn the two lessons. Never trust yourself, but always trust God. You know, David was in a similar situation and was given a choice, and he said, "Oh, let me fall into the hands of a merciful God." Yes, there is where we will find. I would rather fall into the hands of a merciful God. Even without eating the forbidden fruit, Adam still, he did not follow all the guidelines, for they were to stay together. But he was thinking, perhaps we can slip by this time. Maybe God will pass over that little nibble that we took. If Adam had trusted God as David did, "I am in great distress, but I prefer to fall into the hands of the Lord," Adam would have greeted God humbly with his hat in his hand and explained the situation and asked, "Is there any way to solve this problem without the extreme punishment? I wasn't careful. I should have been with her. We should have stayed together. She didn't mean to disobey you. She's a good woman. She's an honorable woman who likes to hear your wisdom and worship you and sing with the angels." It would be a tragic to lose her. And I know you could replace her by creating another woman. But it will be centuries before I believe I could accept another woman into my life. What if this possibility scenario, as in Exodus 32:9-14, God would say to Moses, as he said to Moses at the golden calf incident, "Step aside, Adam. I will destroy her and create a new kingdom with you on earth, with loyal, loving family members." Adam would respond just as Moses, "Oh, dear Father, God, Creator, didn't you say all the planets and the angels were watching this garden? If you act so ruthlessly, you will taint your reputation. But God, if there is no other way, then blot me out as well." The Father and the Son, in the Council of Peace in Zechariah 6:13, they had already made a plan. They had already decided that there should be a substitutionary sacrifice in the Son of God. So it was already, the plan was in place. Adam really had nothing to worry about. Fall into the hands of God. Jesus met with Adam and Eve and the serpent. And you know what happens. He interviews, "What happened, Adam?" And first thing Adam says, "The woman." Had Adam been the real leader, he would have accepted the responsibility. No, but he passed it on to the woman, and he blamed God as well. He should have taken the responsibility and be the leader, but no, he passed it on, and he passed the leadership to Eve. So God asked Eve, "What did you do?" "Well, the serpent tricked me, lied to me, and yes, I did eat of that fruit." And so God speaks to Satan, and you know, he curses him, curses the serpent to crawl all of his days on the ground. And to Satan's face, he says, "Hostilities will always exist between you and your followers and the woman and her follower, her children. And one of her children will crush your head with a fatal blow. And you will retaliate and try to destroy that child. But you will only be able to bruise his feet." God says to Eve, "Having children will be a traumatic experience for you. I'm sure the birth process is a difficult one, one that I will never experience. But ladies, may I ask you, does the problem stop there? Is that it? Or do you have some more tears and difficulty in raising children? Did Eve love Cain as well as Adam? Wasn't that a tragedy that she went through? The tears that flowed down her face at the death of her youngest son, at the hand of her oldest son. It was traumatic. It was terrible for her. And Cain probably gave Adam and Eve a hard time while he was growing up as well. And to Adam, he said, "You listen to your wife instead of listening to me. I, God, told you about that tree. You should have listened to me. Henceforth, the ground will not give its power to you. Your work will be difficult. Sweat will pour off your forehead as you raise food for yourself and your family. This shall be your life of toil until your body returns to the earth and your spirit comes back to me who gave it." This life of difficulties for Adam and Eve is not necessarily a curse put on by God, but God's declaration of what life will be like on this planet with Lucifer or Satan as the prince of this planet. He puts that on everybody. There's a text that says, "Misguided as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children." So says Luke 11:13. The King James Version says, evil as you are. The Greek word here, paneros, it means sick. We have a disease, sin. The symptoms of this disease are contamination, being a busybody, worshiping man, beast, or objects, depressing others, conflict, troublemaking, jealousy, and the list goes on in Galatians 5:19-21. If you have a fever, you know, nausea, feeling run down, the doctor treats you for influenza. And you recover from the disease, the fever, the nausea, the feeling run down disappears on its own. Well, what happened to me? Anyway, Jesus came to heal that sickness, sin. The purifying process takes a lifetime. And so Jesus puts you on life support. And I wish we could see the picture, because I took a picture of someone on life support in the hospital. And I would think you would think, how can you compare the life that God's going to give us with that kind of a situation? But this life that we have on the earth now is just about as bad as that, as the life compared to the wonderful, blessing, glorious life that God has in mind for us in His eternal kingdom. It is far above what you have ever experienced. And without the fall of Adam and Eve in God's plan, life would be wonderful here. Blessings, love, joy, peace would fill the world. Husbands and wives would honeymoon their whole lives. Children would take great pleasure in following their parents' wishes. Did we get it? Business transactions would all be conducted with honesty and respect, with the best quality and of service, of product and service. And genuine, public-spirited individuals with only the benefit of the populace would be the motive of their government. In the picture that I chose, it shows one hand shaking hands and another hand came out and they were passing money. And I put a big X on it. No, don't do that. That's what would happen. Neighbors help neighbors. Citizens are generous. Teachers are conscientious. Students are meticulous. and we worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Health, happiness, and prosperity would be to such a degree that you have never experienced it. Nevertheless, everyone was in Adam. Likewise, everyone is in Christ. Everyone is in Christ. But we have a choice to be righteous or wicked. We can choose no matter what. If God had come, if Adam had come to God with repentance, and God could have said, "I want you and Eve to take lots of twigs and pile them under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then step back on the other side of the tree of life and wait." Adam and Eve wait all afternoon. And in the evening, as the sun is just setting, a lightning bolt comes down and strikes the fruit, the twigs, and the tree, and burns it up. And Adam and Eve, oh, they are really celebrating and joyful. "Oh, God, thank you for burning that terrible tree." But God comes to them and talks to them, because, as he has done many times before, he says, "The tree is charred and almost dead, but the tree and one branch remains alive, because Satan can visit you at that tree. Remember what happens here today, and tell it to each other, and tell your children so often and so thoroughly that they can tell their children." And I know this is a figment out of my imagination. It didn't happen. But you know what did happen, and we are suffering the consequences of that. Now you are standing there with this forbidden fruit in your hand, and you can drop it like Eve did quickly. But we have the responsibility now of handling our own temptation. We must trust God, our Creator. His punishment is better than the earth's reward. Ladies, were you there when Eve was tempted under the tree? And gentlemen, were you there when Adam was struggling with the decision to make to join Eve or trust his father, trust his creator? Death came and became our ultimate end, and sin came into us as our eternal headache. In a sense, all humanity was in Adam, and what happened to him happened to us. In a sense, the sentence of eternal extinction came upon Adam and Eve and us. Was anyone in the Garden of Gethsemane experiencing what Christ went through? Were you there encouraging him? Were you there at the trial offering legal counsel to Jesus? Were you there complaining to the court officials that it was unconstitutional to have a trial at night? Were you shouting, "Let Christ go free," while everyone else was screaming, "Barabbas, give us Barabbas"? Christ went to the cross. Christ went to the cross. You had no part. You had no say. Anyone here not affected by the outcome of that event? Christ, when he died, we died. When he rose from the grave, we rose from the grave with him. Because of Adam, we die. But for in, because of Christ, we shall pass from death to life. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Corinthians, Thessalonians, oh, I'll get it. Go on. Yes, Thessalonians 4:16. Who shouted? Someone tell me. Who shouted?
Christ.
He's going to come back. And what is he going to shout? Come on. What do you think he's going to shout? Well, may I suggest this? Something along this line. Those who have confessed me on earth, come forth. As in Lazarus come forth. Not everyone will be resurrected at the second coming of Christ. Only them that have ears to hear. Did you contribute to your birth? Yet you were born anyway. You didn't, but you were born anyway. Now you're alive. You did not participate with Adam, yet you were suffer the consequences. And you did not participate in essence with Christ on the cross, but you have a benefit with him. You will live again. When Christ comes, if you've passed away, and those that have passed away, he will call you forth. But you live in the last days of this earth. You may be alive when Christ comes, and you will go to heaven with and never die. Just make sure that you're among those that trust. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. What is the faith of Jesus? I had my first Bible, I changed that word. I crossed out of and I put in. Later on, I crossed out in and I put of. Because it's of, but it's also in. But in John 5:30, I can do nothing. Jesus is talking and he says, I can do nothing of my own authority. Jesus said that? You look at John 5:30. Exactly as I heard from my Father, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because it comes from my Father. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they flogged him to a bloody mess? Were you there when they drove the stakes in his hands? Were you there when the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments? Were you there when Peter said, repent? Were you there from Sabbath to Sabbath when the believing worshiped the Creator? Were you there standing in for God's honor when the world enforced a counterfeit day of worship? Will you be there when the Lord says, come forth? Please stand if you want to be among those who trust and hear God's words. Come up here to eternal life. Let us sing, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Our dear Father, God in heaven, hear our prayers and bless us and fill us with your righteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to live as you would have us to live, and most of all, trust you, not ourselves or anybody else. Trust you, dear God. Bless us, please, and have your will in our lives. And may we be there to greet you when you come. And may you, if we were to pass on before you come, call us out of the graves. And the rest raised, that are living, raise up to meet you in the sky and be ever with you eternally in a life that our fondest imaginations cannot fathom. Bless us, dear God, to have your will. In Jesus' name, amen.